We're going to go inside the mind of an unbeliever today. How could you possibly do that? Isn't it arrogant to think that you can know what's going on inside of another person's mind?
Welcome to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, we can't leave that question hanging out there. Is that arrogant? Do you know what's going on in somebody else's mind?
Well, it certainly would be if I wasn't standing with a Bible in my hand. But you know, God knows what's going on in the mind of every person, whether they be a believer or an unbeliever. And in the scripture, God tells us what's going on inside the mind of an unbeliever. And so on the basis that God tells us that, we can know it for sure. And we're going to look at that in the scriptures. The person who does not yet believe cannot see the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Steve, I have found that so helpful. Sometimes there's the temptation to become impatient, frustrated with someone who doesn't believe. Why don't you get it? Why can't you move in the right direction and so forth? And to be reminded by God. Now remember, this person cannot see, can't see. So have patience with the person who is blind. Pray for the person who is blind. Have compassion on the person who is blind.
And Colin, as we begin to understand that and grasp the truth of God's word, that really is helpful. So let's look at that a little further today from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Here's Pastor Colin with a message entitled, Mind.
Today we're returning to our series, Regeneration, How Christ Changes Your Soul. And we're seeing that becoming a Christian involves a miracle of God's grace in which he makes you a new person in Jesus Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Now, creating is something that God does. It involves bringing something into existence that was not there before. When you redo your house, if you do a remodeling, you kind of primarily move things around, move some walls, make it better than it was before. Creating is different. Creating is bringing into existence something that was not there before. And the Bible does not say to us, if anyone is in Christ, he is remodeled. The old is worse and the new is better. It doesn't say that. It's not a matter of improvement, sprucing up your life by faith in Jesus. It's if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And we're exploring what that means and what it is that God brings into existence that was not actually there before in your life. And today we're going to look at how God brings a new mind into existence. He changes what you think. Next week, a new heart changes what you love. And then a new will changes what you choose. And so I hope you'll have your Bible open at 2 Corinthians 4, one of the most marvelous and important passages in the whole of the New Testament on the subject of ministry and what it means for a life to be changed by God's regenerating grace. Now, last Monday was the 40th anniversary of man landing on the moon. What an amazing achievement that was. The BBC in England, where we were last week, running features on this all week. And on Monday morning, as I was driving across the south of England towards the airport to return, extensive coverage. It was absolutely fascinating. Interviews with Buzz Aldrin, archive footage from the original NASA recordings when the landing actually took place, recordings from Mission Control. Marvelous words of Neil Armstrong being repeated again and again. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And then there was a man being interviewed on the radio on behalf of, they said, the small but vociferous group who 40 years later do not believe that the moon landings ever took place. And they had this guy up against debating with a scientist from NASA, and my goodness, he was vociferous. Where is the evidence? He said. Where is the evidence? Pictures, as far as he were concerned, had been doctored. Moon rocks had been dug up apparently from Antarctica, and the whole thing, according to him, was a massive conspiracy involving thousands of people to deceive the American public and the wider world and so forth and so on, and it was all political. And the BBC interviewer said, well, you know, it's strange that none of these thousands of people involved in the deception have broken ranks in the last 40 years and actually owned up to it, but oh well, he said, just you wait. When I got back, I checked out on the internet and found that in 1989, there was a Gallup poll taken in which it found that 6% of all Americans do not believe that the moon landings actually took place, and a further 5% are undecided. I mean, this is amazing. Over 10% in the country that did it. And so I'm kind of reeling from this and saying, what promotes this kind of radical skepticism? And I don't know. I mean, it seems to me this would be a marvelous subject for a psychologist to do a PhD on. What makes people predisposed towards skepticism, and what does that? I don't know. I don't know what predisposes some people to disbelieve in moon landings. But the Bible does tell us what lies behind unbelief in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at that today. And before we do it, let me just say this, that this is not a theoretical issue. It is deeply personal for you, and it is deeply personal for me. Think about people in your life, family, friends, colleagues, who do not believe, who are skeptics, who have heard the gospel, but it makes no impression on their life. They've not responded as you have responded. Do you have family, friends, colleagues who do not believe? Is there someone you're praying for who's heard the gospel many times, but it never makes any impression on them? Have you ever asked this question, what is going on in them? What's happening inside that guy's mind? Well, we're going to go inside the mind of an unbeliever today. You say, how do you think that? How could you possibly do that? Isn't it arrogant to think that you can know what's going on inside of another person's mind? Well, listen. God knows what is going on inside in every mind. The mind of those who believe, the mind of those who do not believe. And when we open the Bible, we are opening the Word of God, in which He reveals things to us that we would not otherwise know. And right here in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, he tells us very clearly what is going on inside the mind of an unbelieving person. That includes the folks I'm thinking of and praying for who are deeply skeptical, and the ones that you may be able to identify in your mind and heart right now also. So will you open your Bible then at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 4. We're going inside the mind of an unbeliever. And you notice that Paul says there, the God of this age, now that's a reference to Satan, by the way, the God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, let's just try and take this in. Paul is talking about people who do not believe the gospel, unbelievers. And he says, here is the condition of a person who is not a believer. The God of this world has blinded that person's mind. If you're blind, it means you cannot see what is there. You don't see what other people see. And so here are people who have heard the gospel, but it makes no impression on them. They don't see it. They don't get it. It makes no difference to them. Now, let's ask this further question. What is it exactly that the unbeliever does not see? And Paul tells us here, the unbeliever cannot see the glory of Christ. They cannot see the light of the gospel, verse 4, of the glory of Christ. So the unbeliever hears about Jesus, but what he hears about Jesus does not make much impression on him. He doesn't see much in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if this person comes to church, they will perhaps be impressed by many things. A person who comes to this church may well say, boy, this is a really beautiful building. They'll certainly say, I'm sure, these are very wonderful people. What warm people. Enjoyed getting to know people. So friendly, marvelous. They may say, marvelous music. They may even say a couple of nice things about the preacher, but they will not be deeply impressed by Jesus Christ. They will not go away enthralled by Him. They'll talk about everything else. But Jesus Christ, they will not see much in Him. whatever is said about him. So, you see, when you're talking with someone who does not believe, whatever the issues that you debate, at the core the difference is that they do not see in Jesus what you see in him. Just don't see it. The unbelieving mind cannot grasp the glory of Christ, can't see it. And by the way, have you noticed that this is true of the world's religions, that the world's great religions do not see much in Jesus? The world's great religions offer a morality, a way of life, a code of ethics. They offer a social hub. They offer rituals for worship. They say some things about Jesus, but they don't see much in him. They will acknowledge Jesus as a prophet, so long as he's one prophet among many. The polytheistic religions of the world may even acknowledge him as a deity, one deity among many. They may see him as an inspiration, as an example, a great teacher, always one among many. As far as the great religions of the world are concerned, Jesus, the portrait of Jesus, as it were, it hangs on the same wall with many others. They do not see a unique glory in Jesus Christ. And that is what Paul is saying about all unbelief. That its distinguishing mark is that the unbelieving mind cannot see the glory of Christ. Remember, on one occasion in the Gospels, a man came to Jesus and he wanted to ask a question. He said, "Good teacher," and Jesus stopped him right there. He said, "Wait a minute, why are you calling me good? There's only one good, and that's God." See, so what Jesus is saying is, you're coming to me and you're calling me a good teacher. Is that all you see in me? Because if that's all you see in me, then you haven't even begun to know who I am. That's why Jesus stopped him right there.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Mind. You know, Colin, this month we've been talking a little bit about Jerry Bridges' book, Who Am I? It's really about our identity in Christ. But before we even talk about what changes when we become a believer in Jesus, I think it's helpful for us to understand who we are in our humanity.
Yeah, that's right. And Jerry is wonderfully helpful in just laying out how it is that God has made us. And he has made us in such a way that we are physically fragile and we are spiritually vulnerable. That's what it means to be human.
So explain that a little bit. What do you mean?
Physically fragile means that we get tired and we get jaded and we need to be replenished. I've spoken recently with folks who were wondering if it was really all right to rest at the end of the day or whether they ought to be striving further in order to make yet more progress. You know what? We're made physically fragile and we need to be replenished. And we're spiritually vulnerable. We're never beyond the point where within our flesh there is the impulse to temptation. That's why we need to watch and pray. And so in Galatians 2:20, Paul says, now this life that I'm living, this Christian life, I live it in the body and I live it by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. These are the two realities. I'm living by faith. I'm still in the body. And guess what? Being physically fragile and spiritually vulnerable, that never changes. And Jerry lays out what it means to be a human being, to be in Christ, and yet to live this life in the body. It's so refreshing, so liberating to understand what it really means to live the Christian life.
Well, the book is called Who Am I? Again, it's about your identity in Christ, and it's our gift to you as you support Unlocking the Bible with a gift of any amount this month. You can give online at unlockingthebible.org or when you call us at 1-866-865-6253. That's 1-866-UNLOCKED. Back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
Now, it follows that because the unbelieving mind does not see much in Jesus, the unbelieving mind cannot therefore see the light of the gospel. And you notice that Paul says that here in verse 4. Cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. By the way, do you notice that phrase? Isn't that beautiful? What is the gospel? What is the good news? It is the gospel of the glory of Christ. Everything that we have to say to the world is about Jesus Christ and about his glory. The good news of his incarnation, his perfect life, his atoning death, his wonderful resurrection, his reigning at the right hand of the Father, and the promise of his coming in glory, his offer of forgiveness. Glorious. The gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. It is all about him. But if you don't see much in Jesus, you won't see much in the gospel. So the unbelieving mind hears the gospel, but it never sounds like the answer to that person. Therefore, they are always looking for something else. They cannot see the light of the gospel. It brings no hope, nor comfort, nor peace, nor joy to them. They remain in darkness. Now, Paul says this is Satan's work. It is the God of this world who has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the glory, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the wretched condition into which all human beings are born, and from which we need to be redeemed. See, it would be very nice if the sole problem of our fallenness was ignorance. If all it was ignorance, all we'd have to do is tell people. And every time you told people the gospel, they'd say, oh, now I know it, and they'd be saved. But that doesn't happen. Why? Because the problem is deeper than ignorance. The problem is blindness. When you tell the unbeliever, he doesn't see it, doesn't get it. The unbelieving mind, blinded by Satan, cannot see the gospel of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't find any light in it. Now, we're going to go on to see how God redeems from this dreadful situation in which human beings find themselves. But before we go there, I want us to see that even understanding the wretched condition is profoundly helpful for us as Christians as we seek to pray for and as we long for unbelieving friends and relatives to come to Christ. When I read this verse, I think of a friend of mine in London who, together with his wife, really grieved for many, many years over their daughter who went in her early teens into a deep, deep rebellion against God. I mean, she was wild. She was really wild. And over the years, she was exasperating to her father and to her mother. When she left home, she really broke their hearts. We had many conversations about this. He spoke to me about his sense of exasperation, and then he said this. He said, not only am I exasperated by her, he said, but honestly, he said, there are times I'm furious with her. Now, do you know what that's like? You are so frustrated by the intransigence of someone you love and you've prayed for years that... And he said, I knew that wasn't getting me anywhere. Then one day he said, you know, I think the Lord has really helped me with this. And he quoted this verse. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And he said to me, you know, I've realized that if that blindness is real, it means she really can't see in Jesus what I see in Jesus. She really can't. It's not just that she's being intransigent and she doesn't want to see what I see in Jesus. It's she can't see what I see in Jesus. And he said, you know, the more I've thought about that, the more I've found it's been changing my heart. Because when you know that someone is blind and they really can't see, you don't get angry with a person for being blind. You have compassion for them. And he said, I've begun to change within my own heart and to pray for her with compassion rather than with frustration. Now, I've found that to be a profoundly helpful thing in my own life, and I hope that you will find that also. Because anger and frustration with folks who are not responding to the gospel doesn't get us anywhere. And an understanding of this truth, of the true spiritual condition of the unbelieving mind, really doesn't see what you see in Jesus, can help us to be more compassionate as we pray and long for the redeeming work of God in those we love. Now, that's verse 4, which is a glimpse inside the unbelieving mind. Let's now jump to verse 6. We'll come back to 5 in a moment. But I want us to go to verse 6 now, which gives us a glimpse inside the believing mind, or inside the Christian mind. For God said, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light to shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now, Paul is obviously now speaking about Christian believers. And he says, God has made his light to shine into our hearts. Now, what is it that Christians see in Jesus? Well, notice what he says here. First, as Christians, we see God in Jesus. Christ, verse 4, is the image of God. Verse 6, we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the light of the gospel has brought us to see God in Jesus Christ. He is God with us, the Bible says. He is God in the flesh. He is the image of God. God is invisible. So how in the world could any person possibly come to know him? And the answer to that is, though no one has ever seen God, John the Apostle says, God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Jesus is God in human form, God with a face, God made known. You cannot know God apart from Jesus Christ. That's the teaching of the Bible. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son makes him known. That's what Jesus said. So we see God in Jesus, God with us. And because we see God in Jesus, we see glory in Jesus. Notice that word, verse 4, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And verse 6, the glory of God in the face of Christ. It's the same thing being said the opposite way around. The glory of Christ is the image of God, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We see glory in Jesus because he is God with us. Now what that means is that Christian faith can never be purely intellectual. Because to become a believer, by definition, is to become a worshiper. Why? Because to become a believer is to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And if you see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that's what faith is, that's what it means to be a believer, you'll not simply say, "I believe," you will worship. Your mind and your heart will be gripped in some real measure by the wonder of his incarnation, the beauty of his perfect life, the power of his amazing words, "I am the bread of life." Who could ever say anything like that? "You live on me," Jesus is saying. See the glory of that, the glory of his miracles, the glory of his atoning death, that God should take human flesh and take my sin on him, that the perfect Son of God should become the atoning sacrifice for me, the glory of his life-giving resurrection so that eternal life should become yours and mine in Jesus Christ, the glory of the day of his coming that still lies ahead of us. We see glory in Jesus. That's why we're not simply believers, we're worshipers. Our hearts and minds are gripped by Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Mind, How Christ Changes What You Think. And today we've really been looking at the mind of an unbeliever, how an unbeliever cannot see the glory of Christ and cannot see the light of the gospel. But next time, we're going to take a look inside a Christian mind and see that we do see God in Jesus. We see glory in Jesus, and we have knowledge through Jesus. So I do hope you'll make it a point to tune in. If you ever miss a broadcast, you can always listen online. Come to unlockingthebible.org. There you can download an MP3 or stream the message for free. You can also be listening through the Unlocking the Bible app. If you don't have that, we'll link you to it when you come to unlockingthebible.org. Hey, quick reminder, Unlocking the Bible is listener-supported. It means we depend on your generosity to keep the broadcast on the air. So if you are benefiting from Pastor Colin's teaching, I want to ask you to consider giving a gift today. Give online at unlockingthebible.org or when you call us at 1-866-865-6253. That's 1-866-UNLOCKED. Well, thanks for listening today. I do hope you'll join us next time as we continue to look at how Christ changes what you think. This program is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. What's the value of proclaiming Jesus to people who cannot see anything good in him. Discover the mystery of God's grace next time on Unlocking the Bible.